When we think of words that are found in the New Testament that are never found in the Old Testament, those are words that we should take seriously, because that's what makes the difference between grace and law. Under the law, there were a number of good things, but it could not lift man to where God wanted man to live. So one of those words is faith. And whenever Jesus was on earth and he saw faith, he always marveled at it. And you didn't have to know so much of scripture to have faith. Let me show you one example of it. In Matthew chapter 8, we read here about a Roman centurion who had a servant who was sick, and he came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 8 and said, "Lord," verse 9, "my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering in great pain." And Jesus said, "I'll come and heal him." But the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. Because I'm also a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes. Say to another, come, he comes. To another, I say, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled. That's always struck me, for Jesus to be surprised. That's amazing. I mean, could I do something that could surprise Jesus, that he marvels? You don't find that so often. He marveled. And he said to those who were following, "Truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel." Now it's very interesting that in Israel everybody knew the scriptures. The centurion had never studied the scriptures. So how did he have faith? He'd obviously heard about Jesus. So I see that his faith was not in a written word, but in a person. And we have today so many charismatics who say we must claim this word and claim that word and believe this word and believe that word and confess it'll be true. There's partial truth in it, but ultimately faith is in a person, not just in a word of scripture. And you see that clearly, that Jesus marveled at his faith. And I see also a close connection here between faith and humility. See, this man was a very humble man, and the first example of that I see, the centurion is like a captain in the Roman army. And for him to go such a long distance to meet Jesus, just to heal his slave at home, you got to be really humble to travel somewhere to get your slave cured. Because in those days, people didn't care much for slaves. They just neglected them. But he was concerned enough to want him to be healed. And the second thing you see there is, when Jesus said, "I'll come to your house," he said, "Lord, no, I'm not worthy that you should come to my house." He had such a low estimate of himself compared to Jesus. Now remember, Jesus was In the eyes of others, just a carpenter's son. And but somehow he recognized that this is someone who is not just an ordinary person. So I see here his humility and his faith. I wonder if we have understood that many a times if we lack faith for a particular situation, the real reason behind it could be that we lack humility. There's a certain amount of pride in us which prevents us from really trusting God in a certain situation. And if you read the Old Testament book of Habakkuk, there's a statement in Habakkuk which is repeated at least three times in the New Testament. The righteous will live by faith. That's mentioned in Hebrews, it's mentioned in Galatians, it's mentioned in Romans. And that's a quotation from Habakkuk. And in Habakkuk, you read here in Habakkuk 2, this is where that quotation comes from. You would have definitely read it in the New Testament. The last part of verse 4, the righteous will live by his faith. Habakkuk 2, verse 4. And as I said, that's quoted three times in the New Testament, in Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews. But what I want you to see here is, it says, but the righteous will live by his faith. It's contrasting this righteous man with somebody else. And the someone else is not one who is unbelieving. You would think that the opposite of faith is one who doesn't have faith, an unbeliever. But notice the contrast here. The contrast is between the proud person, verse 4, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by faith. So the contrast is between not one who is unbelieving and one who has faith, but one who is proud and one who has faith. That's the contrast. So that teaches me something. You know, very often we say, I don't have faith for this. I don't have faith to believe that the Lord will baptize me in the Holy Spirit. I don't have faith that the Lord will take me through this situation. We've got to be honest and say, I'm too proud. That's why I don't have faith. But it's very difficult to say that because most of us think we are quite humble, right? I don't think there's any proud person here. We all think we are quite humble, but we're not. And the test of it is our faith. The more humble we are, the more we will have faith. And so when we lack faith, it's not because we are, say we don't trust the Lord enough. It's because there's a pride in us that prevents us from having faith. The proud person, his soul is not right. But the one who has got faith will live by faith. And so we saw that also in the story of the Roman centurion. He didn't have Bible knowledge, but he had humility. And that humility made him have more faith than anybody in Israel. So it's not so much through Bible knowledge that we come to faith. It's humility helps us to see Jesus more clearly and helps us to have faith. The only other place where we read that Jesus wondered or marveled, you know, you read that, I hope you noticed that in Matthew 8, it says Jesus marveled at his faith. That means he was surprised. Now the other place where it says he wondered or marveled is Mark chapter 6. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 5, it says Jesus could not do any miracle there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. It doesn't say he didn't want to do any miracles. He could not do It's almost as though his hands were tied and he could not do. And again it says, he marveled, verse 6. But this time, he marveled at their unbelief. So there are only two places I see in the scriptures where Jesus was surprised or marveled. Once where he saw faith and once where he saw unbelief. So we see that something very important there. And it's very closely connected with humility. Turn with me again also to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15 and verse 21. Here Jesus went to the district of Tyre and Sidon, and a Canaanite woman came and said, again, my daughter is demon possessed, please come and heal her. And Jesus did not even reply. Now sometimes when you read words like this, it looks as if he's ignoring her. He didn't answer a word. Matthew 15 verse 23. And the disciples came to Jesus and kept asking him, send her away because she is shouting after us, saying, my daughter is demon possessed, come and heal. And then he answered again something to sort of push her away. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she wouldn't give up. She began to bow down before him, saying, Lord, help me. And again he tried to push her away, saying, it is not good to take the children's bread and to throw it to the dogs. You know, people sometimes ask, how can Jesus ever call a human being a dog? It looks like that. He's saying that. I can't take this children's bread and throw it, not even give it, throw it to the dogs. Sounds like a very insulting way to talk to somebody. But Jesus was testing her humility. And she said, yes, Lord, I agree. I am willing to take the place of a dog. I don't deserve what the children, which is God's people, are from Abraham and Israel only. I'm not in that family. So I'm an outsider, I'm a dog. I don't deserve it. But don't you think the dogs can feed on the crumbs that fall from the master's table? What you see there is her humility in not being insulted, feeling insulted that she was called a dog. She said, that's okay, just give me a crumb that falls from the table. And if I take that crumb that falls from the table, I know my demon-possessed daughter will be healed. Imagine that. She had faith that a little crumb is enough to heal my daughter. I don't need the full bread. And Jesus said, woman, your faith is great. One was a Roman centurion, and this was a Canaanite woman, verse 22. The Canaanites were all supposed to be killed by the Israelites 1500 years earlier, but they didn't kill all of them. This is one of those Canaanites that escaped. One of those despised. And she just took that place of a dog and said, okay. So the two people I see that to whom Jesus said, your faith is great, were people who were not Jews. They didn't know the Bible. But their humility was so great that they had faith. You link that with what we saw in Habakkuk. One is the proud and the other who have faith. So I see in all these verses, if you study them, there's a very close connection between humility and faith. So if we understand that, when we say, I don't have faith for that, you've got to be honest and say, I'm too proud. That's the real truth. I'm too proud. I don't have faith that God will fill me with the Holy Spirit. Be honest, brother. Say you're too proud. I'm too proud, so God will not fill me with the Holy Spirit. We must be convinced about this. There's a close connection between pride and unbelief, close connection between humility and faith. You know, when we say, I don't have faith, it doesn't look so bad, right? I mean, I'm just saying, I'm not so strong. But it's more difficult to say, I'm a very proud man. That we are hesitant to say that, because that's humiliating. But that is the truth. And so we rather say, I don't have faith, because that sounds so pious. I don't have faith. So you stop saying that and say, I'm a proud person, that's why I don't have faith. Whenever we ask God for something, I don't have faith for it, okay, just say I'm proud. Lord, I'm too proud here, I just can't trust you to do this. I can't believe that you can give me victory over anger. You can't believe it? See, be honest. Say, I'm too proud, Lord, that's why I can't believe it. Please humble me first of all, and then I'll have faith. So, when you see that, you know, people sometimes ask this question, why did Jesus call a person a dog? I say, just see the whole picture. If you turn back, it says here that Jesus was in Galilee, and verse 21, he went into the district of Tyre and Sidon. The way I have studied the Bible is by being curious. Many human beings are curious about other people's lives. I've tried my best not to be curious about other people's lives. That doesn't help me. That'll pollute me. But I've tried to be curious about the Bible. So when I read something like this, I don't want to be lazy. Many people are lazy. I don't want to be lazy. I see Jesus withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. You know what I do? I turn to the back of my Bible and look at a map. Palestine in the time of Christ. And I see where Galilee is. And I see where Tyre is. And I say, boy, that's about 60 kilometers at least from Galilee to Tyre. 60 kilometers up, 60 kilometers down. Because it says here in Matthew 15 in verse 29, as soon as he finished talking to this woman, he went back to Galilee. So, I learned something. You learn a lot when you're curious. If you're lazy, you learn nothing. I said, Lord, you walked 120. And remember, he didn't have a chariot or horses or anything. It was walking. He walked 60 kilometers and 60 kilometers back to help one person. Would you walk 120 kilometers to help one person? Walk. Would anybody have a doubt that you love that person if you walked 120 kilometers to help that person? Jesus really loved. He was led by the Holy Spirit. He didn't know there was someone like that. Remember, Jesus lived on earth as a man. He lived by the prompting of the Holy Spirit. One day he felt a prompting of the Holy Spirit, go to Tyre. So he went there and helped this one non-Israeli Canaanite woman, delivered her daughter from a demon and came back. What love! That proves that he didn't despise her. When he called her a dog, he was not despising her. You wouldn't go 120 kilometers to meet somebody to call her a dog. That was to help her to take that low place and to teach his disciples something. You see there, this person who has no understanding of the Bible, but because she was willing to humble herself and not be offended, she had faith. Woman, great is your faith, the Lord said. And, you know, what you have wanted is done for you, and her demon and her daughter was healed at once. So in all these instances, I see humility is very closely connected with faith. Everywhere I see that. And I believe that's the one thing that Jesus taught us to learn from him. In many churches, the important thing is to learn how to sing well. And those who are in the ministry, they want to learn how to preach well. And they envy those who can preach well, and very often they say, oh boy, I wish I could preach like that. Because they are seeking honor. Most people, when they admire a preacher and want to preach like him, it's 100% for honor. It's not because they want to glorify God. Boy, if I could preach like that, I'd be very popular or very famous. But Jesus taught us not to learn how to preach or how to sing from him. And that's why in our church, we don't emphasize wonderful singing or, you know, a lot of excited singing. A lot of people think, you know, I've heard that also people say this, we must be really excited when we sing and clap and shout and all that. That's fine. I'm not against it. But that's got a lot to do with personality. It doesn't have anything to do with spirituality. Some people's personality is such that they like to sing loud and clap and shout. They're not spiritual. So that's why we don't place so much emphasis on, if you want to do it, do it. If you want to clap your hands, clap. If you want to be excited and shout, do it. But don't think that makes you spiritual. In fact, you're not spiritual. You're not spiritual if you clap and shout and sing like that and you despise the other person who doesn't do it like you. Then you're definitely not spiritual. And if you think that you're spiritual because you clap and shout and sing and dance, and you're not. So Jesus, there is something he told us to learn from him. Turn to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25. Verse 29. Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And what did he tell us to learn from him? He told us to learn gentleness and humility. Because our Adamic nature is hard and proud. When we say something to someone whom we don't like too much, we say it hard. We even speak to our children hard. To learn to be gentle is not part of the nature of Adam. And it's hardness and pride that characterizes the race of Adam. The children of Adam can shout and sing loudly. You go to these rock concerts, they can beat any Christian. That to sing loud is not a spiritual thing. And to sing softly is not a unspiritual thing. We have to see what is true. True spirituality is not shouting and raising your voice when you sing, or shouting and raising your voice when you preach, or saying numerous hallelujahs. I remember a question answer time in some place they asked me, Brother Zach, why don't you say hallelujah now and then when you preach like so many other? I said, because I usually preach for so long that if I keep saying hallelujah in between, it'll take 2 hours. So I want to leave out these unnecessary words. And I said, a lot of people, when they are saying hallelujah in the middle of the message, it's because he's trying to think, what should I say next? And it's like a filler for time. I say, I don't have time to say all that. And the greatest example is, I said, I never see Jesus saying that. He didn't say, blessed are the poor in spirit, hallelujah. For there is the kingdom of heaven, hallelujah. He never said that. I never see Jesus using the word even once. And I always wanted to preach like Jesus. So, I never see him using that word once in his whole life. Why should I say it? Just because some crazy Pentecostal guy says it. He's not my example. My example is Jesus. So, Jesus told me what to learn from him. Gentleness and humility. That's what I want to learn. Because a lot of these other things are to impress people. You know, shouting and yelling and saying hallelujah and clapping, raising. All these things. Anything you do in order to impress people, it's evil. It's absolutely evil. Many people don't see it like that. I see it like that. particularly in spiritual things. In the house of God, the only person I must seek to impress is Almighty God Himself. That's all. Nobody else. It doesn't matter what other people think about you. So, but Jesus told us to learn something, and that is gentleness and humility. I'm sure you've all read that verse. But I don't know how many of you have really said, Lord, I want to learn that. I want to look at your life in the Gospels and study your humility and gentleness. You see His gentleness in the way He dealt with the adulterous woman, or the 5 times divorced Samaritan woman. There was a gentleness about Him. He never wanted to embarrass others in any way. And that's something we can learn from Jesus, that we must never say anything that will embarrass a person or make him feel awkward. It's not just good manners, it's Christ-likeness. So let's just look at these two things, gentleness and humility, because faith, as I told you, comes through humility. We saw that already. So if Jesus had tremendous faith, it's because he had tremendous humility. And so if I can learn humility from him, maybe my faith will increase. When I started my Christian life, I have to say that faith was very little. I mean, I believe that Christ died for my sins, and objective faith that he died for my sins, I believed it, and I believed his word that when I confessed my sins and received him, he had forgiven me. That's about all. It was the ABC lesson in faith, and I remained in the kindergarten of faith for years and years and years. And I said, how to have more faith? Because I know that everything in the New Testament we get by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. In the Old Testament, faith was not emphasized. And here I see that faith is closely connected with humility. So if I can learn humility from Jesus, and I was speaking about gentleness, let me show you John chapter 4. John's Gospel chapter 4, we read Jesus speaking to this woman of Samaria. Again we see Jesus being led by the Holy Spirit. You know, they were, start at John chapter 4. See this, verse 3. He left Judea and departed to go into Galilee. If you look at a map again, sometimes it's good to look at a map. You learn something. So, I look at a map and I see Judea and Galilee. And it's a straight road all the way, about 100 kilometers at least. But the Jews would never take that straight road, because the straight road went through Samaria. And they treated the Samaritans like these low class, you know, how the Brahmins look down on low caste people. They don't want to go anywhere through a slum area, through a low caste village area. They don't want to go that way. So they would, even though the straight road was through Samaria, they would take a roundabout route avoiding Samaria to go to Galilee. That was a normal route. Even if it's 20, 30 kilometers more, we'll go that way. Because they despised the Samaritans. But here it says, it's interesting, you know, John chapter 4, verse 4, he had to pass through Samaria. Why does it say that? Because Jesus lived by the leading of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit said, you're going to go through Samaria. And very often when the Holy Spirit led Jesus like that, that's always because there's some needy person is there. I really long to see that type of, you know, that's the way we're supposed to live. Jesus, you know, would walk through a road, and as he was going through the road, the Holy Spirit would say, stop. look up into the tree, there's somebody sitting there. And he'd look up and there was Zacchaeus sitting there. What a wonderful way to live. And don't say because he was God, he was a man filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God leads you in amazing ways to bring you in touch with needy people. If you keep on listening to his promptings, it's one of the most important things that we need to develop in our life, is to listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And if you start when you're young, of course you'll make a lot of mistakes, it doesn't matter. Everything in life we learn by mistakes. We learned addition, subtraction, division all by making mistakes. But finally we learned it. So don't be afraid if you make mistakes, but say, Lord, I want to listen to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And here the Holy Spirit said, you've got to go through Samaria today. So they go through Samaria. And when they came there to a city called Sychar, verse 5, he told his disciples, you know, when you travel together in a long journey like that, you're hungry, it's lunchtime, and you want to go somewhere to some restaurant or something to eat food, and always we'd go together. But the Holy Spirit prompted Jesus to say, no, don't go with them. Let them go and have their lunch. You sit here. And so he sent his disciples to, it says in verse 8, the disciples went away to buy food. Why didn't he go with them? He sat there by the well. The Holy Spirit said, sit here. And then came this woman of Samaria, and Jesus began to speak to her. And through her, led the whole city of Samaria to come and hear the gospel. But what type of woman was she? She was a 5 times divorced woman. Jesus said to her, you've had 5 husbands, and now you're sleeping with somebody who's not even your husband. First, I see there his humility and his love for people who are divorced 5 times. You know, we would despise somebody who's divorced 5 times. Oh, divorced once itself is bad enough. Imagine being divorced 5 times. You must be a terrible woman. No, he saw her as a needy person and loved her and brought her into the kingdom. Doesn't God love people who are divorced 5 times? And now not only divorced, but now sleeping around with the person without getting married? Sometimes we don't have the compassion of Jesus, and that's why we are not able to serve him more or bring more people to him or build his church. It's compassion that we need first of all. And then what I wanted to show you was his gentleness. As soon as he said that, she knew that her private life has been exposed. And he said, you're a prophet. And she changed the subject from her married life to worship and said, hey Lord, can we change the subject a bit? Can we now talk about worship? And the average person would have said, hey, hang on, you got to settle this matter about why are you sleeping with somebody who is not your husband? He never touched that subject again. There I see his gentleness. These are the areas where we got to see the life of Jesus and say, Lord, make me like that. Don't let me embarrass a person. And you touch a point which is a bit sore point. I'm not going to go there again. I just leave it. Let's change it. She says, change the subject. I'll change the subject. And Jesus changed the subject. Jesus says, learn from me, for I am gentle. Our service for the Lord will be far more effective if we learn gentleness, even in married life, husband and wife. If you say something, you suddenly discover that's a bit of a sore point for your husband or wife, that'll make them feel a bit embarrassed, drop it. Learn to be gentle. You'll have a much happier marriage. Ignore it. A lot of things you just got to ignore. Forget it. Gentleness and humility. And of course, the humility of Jesus we can see in many, many areas in his life where he never felt offended that people, you know, called him bad names or despised him or ignored his needs. One of the classic examples which I like to quote of that is, I mean, if you've probably heard me say this before, but let me repeat it. Jesus traveled from Galilee to Jerusalem once for a feast in John chapter 7 and preached the gospel there the whole of that day, the last day of the feast. He must have been quite tired by the end of the day. And it says, at the end of the day, John 7, last verse, everyone went to his own home, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. That's the next verse, chapter 8, verse 1. Now, I feel that he went to the Mount of Olives because nobody invited him, saying, Lord, come home with us. Where are you staying tonight? Here's a preacher who's come all the way from 100 kilometers away. And you've been tremendously blessed by his preaching. And all of them were so thoughtless that they didn't even bother to ask, where are you staying tonight? And Jesus was not offended. He said, okay, that's fine. I can go sleep on the Mount of Olives tonight, out in the open, under the trees. And he came back the next morning, verse chapter 8, verse 2, early in the morning, and he came and sat in the temple, and again he began to teach them. Again, nobody asks him, Lord, where were you last night, by the way? We will deal with people like this who appear to be totally thoughtless about our needs. There you learn humility. Accept it as the will of God and have no... If you have a complaint against somebody because he's not thoughtful about your need, I believe it's part of pride. Why should I think that I'm such an important person that everybody should come and ask me, where am I sleeping and am I taken care of? No. Jesus said, I'm a servant of my Father. If he provides me, I'll never tell my needs to anybody. Not even my need of a bed to sleep in tonight. I will not tell anyone. There was his humility. And maybe the Father doesn't want me to go to some house. Maybe I should be in the Mount of Olives tonight and just spend a little time in prayer. No complaints. A humble man never, never has a complaint against anyone. And even when he comes the next morning, he doesn't try to hint that nobody cared for me last night. There are many things like this we can learn for ourselves. And if we learn humility from Jesus, our faith will increase. And when faith increases, there are many things we can accomplish in our life, because in the Christian life, everything is dependent on faith. That's why, you know, I see that when I studied the Gospels, I found that Jesus rebuked his disciples 7 times for unbelief. More than for sin or anything, he rebuked his disciples. Why is it you couldn't believe? Oh, you of little faith. Oh, that was his most common expression. Why couldn't you believe? Why couldn't you believe? There was only one reason. Those disciples were proud. So I say, Lord, I don't want you to ever say to me, why couldn't you believe me there? Why couldn't you trust me there? Why were you in a panic? Why did you get anxious? Why did you get worried? Don't you think I could take care of you? Don't you believe what I've said, that the hairs on your head are numbered? Don't you believe what I said, that I care more for you than the birds of the field? Why? So, when we see the close connection between humility and faith, we see different situations in our life where our reaction is one of pride. Like I said, why isn't somebody thoughtful about my need? Why should they be? Who do you think you are? I often say that to myself. Who do I think I am that somebody should be thoughtful about my need? I'm not a great king or something. I'm just a very small person. So, if we learn this from the Lord in the different situations we face, even in our home, sometimes a husband or wife either could be very thoughtless about the other person. Don't get offended. Say, Lord, I'm just a nobody. Who said I'm not a somebody? Just one more verse and then we close. Galatians chapter 6, it says here, Galatians 6, this is a great verse. Galatians 6:3. If anyone thinks he's a somebody, when he's really a nobody, he's deceiving himself. If anyone thinks he's a somebody, when he's just a nobody, he's deceiving himself. So I say, Lord, I want to live all my life recognizing I'm a nobody. Life is very peaceful and relaxed, and I learned that from Jesus. He always lived as a nobody. You didn't have to provide a bed for him to sleep at night. You could call him Prince of Devils. You could treat him like rubbish. He was never offended because he decided, I'm here to be nothing, just to please my Father on earth. And that's why he had such tremendous faith to accomplish great things for God. I want to say to all of you brothers and sisters that if you want in your one life to really accomplish God's purpose and do great things for God, you need faith. And faith is very closely linked to humility. So take that word of Jesus seriously. Learn from me, for I am humble in heart. So next time you read the Gospels, read it slowly, and when you come to the life of Jesus, different situations, you say, Lord, can I learn some humility there from you? May God help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us to apply these truths in our daily life. We humbly ask in Jesus' name. Amen.